I am reading from Genesis 28th chapter, 10th through the 19th verse. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillow and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the epistle is from Romans chapter 8. This is the middle of three sermons that we're working out of Romans chapter 8, which it's just a great passage. It's just filled with references to the Holy Spirit. And I just a little program note here. I spent a year reading this chapter. That was what the Lord had for me that in a year. He said, I want you to focus on Romans chapter 8. So I soaked in it. Just an idea for you, as there are different ways to approach your own devotions. It was really helpful for me. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit through him has to say to us. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And of children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, may the hope that comes from knowing you take hold of us today. Even as we groan within ourselves and the Spirit groans with us because of the brokenness of this creation, Lord, we refuse to bow to that. Instead, we turn and bow to you, the author of salvation and hope, even Jesus. Amen. While creation groans, there's hope. Everybody hurts in some way, but there's hope. Peggy Noonan, a writer for the Wall Street Journal, commented on a scene in the movie Black Hawk Down. It's the battle of the Bakra market in Mogadishu, Somalia. It's October 1993. And in this scene, the actor, Tom Sizemore, who is in the role of a hard-bitten, hardcore U.S. Army Ranger, he's a colonel, he's in charge of a small convoy of Humvees trying to get back to base with mortar and rocket fire all around. In the violence, the colonel stops the convoy, brings some wounded on board, throws a dead driver out of the driver's seat, and yells at a bleeding sergeant who's standing in shock nearby. I mean, you got a sense of this picture? The colonel says to the bleeding sergeant, "Get into that truck and drive." And the sergeant says, "But I'm shot, colonel." And the colonel responds, "Everybody's shot. Get in and drive." Those are not gentle words. We know. But sometimes that's the way it is. And Noonan saw in that movie, Black Hawk Down, which, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. He saw this comment as a metaphor of life. Everybody's shot. Everybody's a casualty of a broken creation that groans under the weight of heavy fire. And we're all walking wounded in some way. The Apostle Paul, as he's reflecting on this and looking at the beauty of the presence of the Holy Spirit, says in verse 22, "We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." Creation groans. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, you know, when they ate whatever fruit that was, they weren't the only ones affected. It wasn't just human beings. All creation began to groan. Christmas vacation, Phuket, Thailand. Everything is hunky-dory until a tsunami comes and takes over. Multiply that thousands of times in small villages, large cities, Asia. It's in trouble. Even to the shores of Africa, creation groans. Creation rumbles through an earthquake. Wildfires break out in Arizona, California. There are mudslides. Excessive rain. Who'll stop the rain? Creation groans. Literally, this when Paul says this, he's talking. It means creation groans or suffers together, as in labor or childbirth. Every mother here knows the pain of childbirth. But you know, you weren't the only one that was groaning in this. Do we know the pain of the child that's being forced through the birth canal and how the child feels? We can't remember as children. But it happens together. All of creation groans together. And he says it's just like when a child is born, mother and child together. So it's us, and it's the creation around us. Everyone and everything groans. But in the midst of the groaning, he offers a hopeful word. He says in verse 23, "And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our body." So even in the midst of the groaning, we have hope. We wait eagerly for our adoption. The promise of the kingdom of God is that one day we will know the redeeming, the full redemption of these groaning bodies. And the older we get, the more they groan. Sometimes you don't have to get old. Sometimes they just groan because of some other disease or hurt or struggle. But we know this is not all there is. At least we should. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus came to make it clear that what we experience in this life is not all there is. One day we're going to put on a new body. In the Roman world of Jesus' day, to the people that Paul's writing to, this was the situation. When a young man was achieving legal status, his father would take him to the forum and he would announce to the citizens that were gathered, "This is my son. Today he comes of age and inherits my name, my property, my social position." And there's the picture that one day we will fully inherit, we'll come into all that God has for us. And then the father would take the toga of the child, the praetexta, off the child and place upon the child the adult toga, virilis. And the whole ceremony was called adoption. There it is. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption. The day when it's more than ceremony, when everything that we've been hoping for comes fully into view, and we come fully into it. But the waiting that we have is that of an incomplete person, waiting for the completeness that is ours in Christ. And we suffer until our graduation day, when we get that toga and get all the rights and privileges, and everything which groans finally stops groaning. That's a good thing to look forward to. How do we do it? Well, again, we learn in this passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit plays a crucial role. And Paul says, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." With perseverance. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit came to us when we made a commitment to follow Jesus. It's like the pretext that was placed on us. You know, the toga of the child. And we started to feel some of the goodness of the kingdom. Can you remember your birth in Christ? I do. I remember that night in August in 1970 when I knelt at a couch in a neighbor's living room and I gave my life to Jesus. And I felt the Holy Spirit come. And I knew that things were changing. Good news. Really good news. Because things weren't so good. That's what he has for us. He says, when I put that pretext of that childhood toga on you, that's the promise that there is more. And so we wait for that day. But we don't sit around and twiddle our thumbs waiting for that day, do we? We wait actively. You know, when I go to the doctor's office, I take a book with me. Because I know that when I go to the doctor's office, generally, I'm in for the duration. It's going to take a while till I get through that door. And even after I get through the door, they put you in a room. And then you wait some more. My iPad goes with me, loaded with all kinds of stuff. And so I wait actively for the doctor. That's the idea here. We wait. But we don't wait as those who just kind of twiddle our thumbs. We involve ourselves in kingdom issues that point the way to the kingdom and say to others, as well as the confirmation for ourselves, there's hope here. We know that children need to have a better hope than is afforded to them in our schools, at our recreation venues of soccer and baseball and band camp. So we have Vacation Bible School. Because we have something for them in Vacation Bible School that for the most part, they're not going to get at school. They're not going to get, even in the religion class at times. That's our mission. And so we're active in this. We're not playing VBS for a week. This is serious business because we're planting seeds and we're watering and we're getting ready to see the pretexta fall on the children as they give their lives to Jesus. There's hope here, and we are committed to it. When Karen was doing all those antics, you know, spinning around and clapping her hands, and she doesn't do that because she just enjoys doing it. She does it purposefully. If you'd been here for Vacation Bible School training night, Paula had us all up on our feet doing high fives and dancing around, and everybody's thinking, I feel a little silly. Yeah, but you know, we have to be able to let that one go. Why are we doing this? Because we want to reach a new generation. We want the Spirit to fall on them. That's our mission. We're waiting, but we're waiting actively. We know that homes are broken and divorce pierces us as deeply as can ever be pierced. And so we offer counseling. We do marriage enrichment classes. And for the people whose marriages don't make it, after all the help that we've tried to offer, sometimes they just don't have that help, then we offer divorce care. And sometimes in divorce care, marriages are healed. And sometimes it's just individuals that get healed and ready for a new life. Because there's groaning going on, and it hurts. We wait. But we wait with patience. You say, this isn't instantaneous. You know, Vacation Bible School doesn't happen. Boom, okay. No, there's a lot of work in getting ready. And then there's the work afterwards. Not just cleanup, but the continual watering and caring. We wait with patience. And patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you want a get to heaven quick idea here, forget about it. We're in it for the long haul. We're not sprinters. We're marathon runners in this church. We have to be. Because that's the way it works. We wait, says Paul, with patience, with perseverance. He says, and we wait eagerly for it. We're hopeful. In the midst of the groaning, while creation groans, we have hope. Some years ago, Eric Waltersdorf died in a mountaineering accident at the age of 25. 25 years old, with so much hope, so much life, you know, doing what he loved, but he died. His father, Nicholas Waltersdorf, wrote about this tragedy in a book that's treasured by many people who have experienced similar losses. It's called Lament for a Son. Lament for a Son. And at the funeral, he reports the community's actions and symbols spoke as much, or perhaps even more, than the words that were spoken. He said the cloth that was placed over the coffin was simple, but wonderfully made. Near it, there burned a candle, symbolizing the resurrection hope. The opening words of the service remembered Eric's baptism, that he was sealed with the presence of Jesus and the presence of God's Spirit who took hold of him. The music, he said, was glorious. And together, the people celebrated the Lord's table, the Eucharist. He calls it the sacrament of God's participation in our brokenness. He came to live among us. We don't have a God who doesn't know what we're experiencing. We have a God who knows real world, all of the brokenness. He suffered with us and continues to do that. Waltersdorf said that the funeral did not console me for Eric's absence. That just plain hurt. But it did something else. He said it sank deep into me, the realization that my son's death is not all there is. There's more. And so, that's the word of hope. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying as the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit falls upon us. He says, this isn't all there is. This broken, groaning creation, this one, and that one is not all there is. Yes, we are walking wounded, but we walk. Sometimes we hobble. Sometimes we crawl. Sometimes we're wheeled in. But we continue. And it's the love of God that is a constant for us, that when we're still enough, we can feel the arms of God coming around us and holding us. Sometimes for me it's like a bear hug. Sometimes it's a gentle embrace. All depends on what I need. And God knows what I need. God knows what you need. God knows what this groaning creation needs. It's the same love that gave Jesus the courage to say, not my will, but yours be done. It gave him the courage to endure the beatings, the mocking, the scorn, the weight of a cross, and death itself. That courage that was available to Jesus is ours too. It's the praetexta. It's the first fruits. It's the falling of the Spirit on us and saying, there's hope. Don't give up. As we finish this time of worship, I'd like us now to join together in a hymn, which to me is near and dear, and I hope it is to you as well, because it speaks to us of something, someone who won't let go until he blesses us. Who is reminding us constantly, Lord, give us ears, hearts, all of our senses, Lord. We give them to you so that you might remind us that we are not alone and this is not all there is. There's more. Thank you, Lord, for being that more. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And so,